Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the show that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and today we're going to talk about one researcher who could predict divorce with 90% accuracy and how you can learn from this to create more positive experiences in your partnership. Before we dive in, just a little housekeeping here, and I want to acknowledge all of you that are listening to the show, sharing the episodes, submitting your questions, giving me your thoughts on the episodes and how it's made a difference for you, how you disagree, maybe see things a different way. It's great to engage and just hear from so many of you on this. The podcast is on the charts, and I've got a new goal of trying to make this a top 10 relationship show. So I appreciate your support in that and tuning in. One listener let me know that they had some thoughts about the fighting over text message episode, episode 4, where I recommended, you know, that we really avoid fighting over text because of how much we miss. If you didn't hear that episode, go back and listen to it. Every week in my digital office here, I listen to couples talk about some of the moments that go sideways. And a lot of the time, they are over text message. Obviously, our conversations can go sideways in person, but text messaging is particularly bad for articulating ourselves, understanding where our partner's coming from, being able to sense what they're feeling, what they're going through. And this one person that shared some feedback with me said that, you know, with their partner, they actually will go back and forth over text. And part of that is due to work schedules, travel. Sometimes they're just exhausted because of the kids. And that they find that actually conversing over text can help slow things down and can help them think about what they really want to say before they say it. And that, you know, this listener doesn't fully agree that carte blanche, we should never have important conversations over text. And I think that's great. You know, clearly works for them. There's something about that that allows them to slow it down. Slowing things down in general is part of the goal. Like if we want to get through these conversations or we want to make quick progress, we do need to go slowly, especially inside of conflict, especially inside of misunderstanding. Otherwise, we're typically going to increase the sense of disconnection instead of getting in touch with what really matters and hearing each other's position. So for this couple that works, it could work for you too. And there's no hard and fast rules necessarily about how you need to be in your relationship. The tendency here is that we don't slow down. So over text message, we tend to just react to one another with defensive statements, criticizing, shaming, blaming. We're not texting mindfully. Our nervous state is aroused in a way that we don't want it to be. We might feel angry, we might feel anxious, and we can get short, we can get stubborn, we can get shitty with each other in our messages. And that's really what I want to encourage you to avoid. Don't do that. If you can mindfully text, if you can articulate your thoughts in a non-defensive way that shares more about what's important to you or where you're coming from and your partner's able to receive it, love it. But we want to try to avoid that reactive exchange of just throwing insults and shit at each other. It's just so negative and damaging and hurtful. And I rarely hear from couples that are having productive exchanges. So it's not that we avoid talking over text. It's really, we just want to avoid that kind of reactive fighting with each other. Okay. Today's episode is really touching on the work of Dr. John Gottman. Him and his wife, Julie, have made incredible contributions to the field of psychology and relationship science. So we can't cover everything today. I want to start with some bite-sized stuff, which is really the four horsemen. I want to talk about building trust. And these ideas are from Dr. John Gottman. I did not create these ideas. This is from his research, his years of study. And now they're kind of part of pop culture. Many therapists, especially couples therapists, are helping couples to eliminate these negative behaviors known as the four horsemen and try to get them to focus on the remedies or the antidotes or essentially a more positive way of relating with each other to build a culture of appreciation and understanding and teamwork, because these are the things that successful couples are able to do. They're able to turn towards their challenges together. For those of you who don't know Dr. John Gottman and his wife, Julie, they have been widely recognized with their contributions to psychology and science and received many awards. John's research began in the 70s, but he's most famous for his work in the late 80s with Robert Levinson. And eventually, this project, their laboratory at the University of Washington, became known as the Love Lab. And maybe you've heard of it. Essentially, during the 80s and 90s, John developed a model to predict whether newlywed couples would remain married and which ones would divorce 4 to 6 years later. He could predict relationship failure with over 90% accuracy if certain behaviors were not changed. And that's incredible. It's almost psychic. And it's not paranormal, it's just science. These behaviors have now famously become known as the Four Horsemen, which is a biblical reference to the end times. So these are the kinds of behaviors that show up that allowed John to predict with such high levels of accuracy whether a relationship would work, whether this couple would be together in the future. And regarding the Love Lab, basically over many, many years, researchers observed hundreds of couples and noted their facial expressions, their heart rates and blood pressure and skin conductivity, and the words that they used in conversation with each other. And what was discovered is that low-risk couples maintain a magic ratio of 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative interaction during conflict. Now, many of you have heard this before, this magic ratio, 5 to 1. Hang in there with me for a moment because I want to clarify something that is commonly misunderstood. And what's important to note here is that outside of conflict, the ratio between positive and negative interactions in successful relationships actually goes up to 20 to 1, which means 20 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction. In conflict, that's where we've got that 5 to 1 magic ratio. So even when we disagree, even when we're in conflict and misunderstanding, if we can maintain 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative interaction, it's really going to determine a lot about the satisfaction we experience in our relationship and whether it is going to last. Many therapists and people in the personal development space have misquoted these numbers, including myself. It's easy to read just 5 to 1 and think that applies to the relationship as a whole, but it specifically refers to conflict. And we really want to be aiming for that 20 to 1 number. So Dr. John and Julie Gottman have written several books. They have a long list of accomplishments that you can find online if you want to learn more about them. They also train therapists, doing a lot of work. They are, I believe, in their late 80s, early 90s now. So they've been around for a while. They know what they're talking about. I highly recommend their books. But today we're just going to focus on the Four Horsemen, their antidotes, and how you can build trust in your relationship. So let's talk about the Four Horsemen. The first is criticism. And we've talked about this on the show before. We have a tendency to, you know, get negative with each other. And we can use criticism to put our partner down, you know, maybe verbally attack them, something about them as a person, their character, how they conduct themselves. There are psychological motivations that we have for using it, but it is a negative experience. It is essentially the more that this shows up, the less likely the couple is going to be together for a long period of time. We're going to talk after about the significance of repair and how that plays a role here, because these Four Horsemen are not just red flags that if you see them, you got to run for the hills. We need to hang in there a little bit with each other because these behaviors are really common. These show up in our relationships at some point. Okay, so we got criticism. Contempt. This is attacking the sense of self with an intent to insult or abuse. So contempt is a little bit more of a hardcore version of criticism. Within that becomes a sense of superiority, you know, that I'm better than you. Definitely a negative experience to have that. Defensiveness, you know, the shield sometimes that we put up by denying that we have any responsibility or making it all about our partner and that they're the problem. You know, we basically victimize ourselves to ward off a potential or perceived attack. We reverse the blame. And that never feels good when our partner tries to put everything on us and not take any responsibility for their contribution, their co-creation of the relationship. And the fourth is stonewalling. When we basically withdraw to avoid conflict and we sort of withhold, we withdraw to kind of punish our partner. We take our love away. We distance and separate. And stonewalling is really tough because it can take time to come down from that. You know, we can need a bit of a break, might need to try to regulate our nervous system in some way, which could be something as simple as watching a TV show, putting our mind onto something else for a minute, letting our heart rate come down so that we can come back to connect with our partner. So the four horsemen here are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. Nobody wants to experience these, but from time to time we do. Some of us have all of this going on in our relationship, which makes it a very painful and toxic place to be. So let's talk about some of the remedies here. If we don't want this, how can we counteract that? What can we focus on to try to transform part of this dynamic? With criticism, we want to talk more about our feelings using I statements. So we want to say, okay, I'm feeling this way. I noticed that this happened and it made me feel this way. It's taking responsibility for what's coming up with us and trying to connect that to a positive need that we've got instead of being fixated or focused on what we don't want to happen and putting all of our energy into constructing sentences about how it's, you know, our partner's fault that we're experiencing this. So we want to slow things down a little bit. Talk about us. Dr. Brad Blanton refers to that as a kind of radical honesty. When we talk about what we notice happening outside of us and what we notice happening inside of us. And instead of doing that inside-outside game, we often flip things upside down in our mind and we start to, you know, add story and narrative. You know, you want it, you don't like me, we start putting all this extra spice and flavor to it. So try talking about your feelings from an I context. And this obviously will require your partner to listen, be open to your perspective. We're going to talk a little bit more in this episode about how to build trust in those moments, how to hang in there with each other. Contempt, the second horseman. The remedy here is really about building a culture of appreciation. So we've talked about that on the show, you know, really acknowledging and vocalizing the things that you appreciate about your partner, recognizing the things that they do. Yes, they might have their deficits. They might not show up perfectly in every moment. They might annoy you to no end with some things. But let's try and stay focused as well on the positive qualities. Let's try and see the whole picture because we can get really narrow. We can get really myopic sometimes in our perspective and just get focused on the thing or the things that aren't working. So try and find some gratitude for each other, gratitude for the positive things you do contribute to the relationship, to the household, and so on. The remedy for defensiveness is personal ownership and responsibility. We need to be able to accept our partner's perspective and also take ownership of the ways that we might have contributed to their upset. So this is an apology, you know, okay, I'm sorry I did that. Sometimes we say things like, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And that's kind of a shitty apology. It lacks ownership. And some of us can be really sensitive. Most of us are really sensitive to taking responsibility for wrongdoing. We don't want to feel bad. We don't want to feel shame. We don't want to feel like we're to blame. But if both partners are able to take responsibility for the fact that their partnership is a co-creation, you know, this idea that it takes two to tango. You can't be in a relationship or have a fight if it's just you staring at the wall, unless there's something more clinically severe going on. In a relationship, we've got these stimulus and response, action and reaction, pulsing energy back and forth. And if you really take a moment, you know, to dig deep, you'll find, and you probably have found that, yeah, okay, I can see how I co-created that moment with my partner. So instead of getting defensive, take responsibility, be willing to apologize, take ownership for what's yours. That doesn't mean taking ownership for things that, you know, aren't your fault. There are some things that maybe your partner contributed as well, but just own your piece, you know? And I think anytime I do that, or anytime my partner takes responsibility, it really makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I have a choice in the matter. When my partner says, hey, you know what? I notice how I did that. It makes me feel like, oh, okay, right. Okay, I can work with that. Like, it's okay to make mistakes or get it wrong. I love you. You see that. You see the reality of the situation. Let's be better. You know, how can we love each other better? How can we work on this thing as a team? That's a nice place to be, you know, because it's more hopeful. There's possibility. There's a sense of supportiveness in that. The fourth horseman, stonewalling, the remedy or antidote there is really self-soothing. And this is often going to require you to take a break, spend some time doing something else, which could be taking a walk for 20 minutes, could be watching a TV show, could be doing chores around the house. But really, if you don't have a self-soothing practice that involves a meditation or a somatic exercise, some embodiment tool that you've got, you can self-soothe just by taking your mind off things, trying to distract yourself. And there's a lot of ways that you might do that in a healthy way that isn't, you know, distracting yourself with a six-pack of beer. This can be helpful. And what's important is that we don't just take breaks and then avoid the conversation altogether. You know, we need to be able to communicate with our partner and say, hey, I'm feeling totally overwhelmed. Or, hey, I can notice that you might be feeling overwhelmed. Let's take a break. You know, let's come back to this in 30 minutes. Let's talk about this after dinner, because this relationship's important to me. And I know sometimes we get overwhelmed. And, you know, let your heart rate come down, let your nervous system regulate, and come back to the conversation from a, you know, a state where you're going to be more successful. So these four horsemen, if they're present, it doesn't mean that your relationship is over and that you're doomed. These are going to show up in life. They're going to show up inside of your romantic partnerships. Most people can acknowledge or notice, if they've been together more than a couple of years, they're going to see a moment where at least they maybe got critical, you know, or maybe they shut down. They got overwhelmed and their nervous system response was to go full dorsal vagal, shut down. They go offline. They're not available. You know, this stuff happens if we're watching for it. So the key here is really being willing to address these patterns and commit to positive behavior change. These dynamics are present in every relationship in some way, even if it's just small. And you might notice, like, you can quickly become critical or judgmental in your mind, even if you keep it to yourself. But that energy is still present in the relationship, and it can show up in your behavior, inside of the way you express yourself or the things you withhold. And of course, many of us do become critical in our communication. We get negative with our partner in an attempt to get them to behave the way that we want them to, which isn't a great strategy. Part of our brain thinks that it works, but it doesn't. And in episode 6 and 7 of this show, we discussed repair being a major key to lasting relationships. And that's relevant here. If one of these horsemen is present in your partnership, it doesn't mean that the relationship is over or it has to end or that you guys are broken. It probably means you want to experience something different. You want the pattern of behavior to end, and it will take commitment from both partners to make that a reality. Dr. John Gottman also created an acronym to help us understand what matters in relationships. And it's really about trust and attunement. Many of us struggle with emotional attunement, And most psychologists agree that building trust with another person requires this ability from us. So to help us remember this truth, to remember this teaching, Dr. John Gottman created this acronym that stands for awareness, tolerance, turning towards, understanding, non-defensive listening, and empathy. The acronym is ATTUNE. So let's discuss this a little bit. If we want to build trust in our relationship, the gateway for that is emotional attunement. Many of us have a huge growth opportunity here with this. It's rare that anyone is perfectly emotionally attuned. We're going to become disconnected. You can think of this as almost losing consciousness in a moment with your partner. You just lose presence. You're stressed. You're at capacity. You get reactive. It happens. So let's break this down. The first letter here stands for awareness. And so part of this awareness is curiosity. Curiosity of your partner's experience, acknowledgement of who they are, what's important to them, a general sense of being present, which means that we can turn off the TV channel of our life, but also means being aware of our partner's world, you know, their current circumstances, where they're at, what they're up to, whether they're busy or not, sense of awareness. The next letter in ATTUNE stands for tolerance, honoring differences. This means different perspectives, different viewpoints, acknowledging there's more than one way to see the situation, and accepting two realities can exist at the same time, that you can both have different viewpoints and you both can be right. And part of doing this successfully means that we avoid dismissing each other's perspective or invalidating each other's position. The next T in ATTUNE stands for turn toward. And this is physically looking into your partner's eyes, turning towards them, showing that you're paying attention. I often call this turning off the TV channel of your life. So you're face to face, making eye contact. If you're shouting at each other from separate rooms, there's a lot of ways that, you know, that can go sideways as well. The next piece here on this acronym ATTUNE is understanding. Seek to understand. So we want to create understanding over creating agreement. Really listen and see that your partner maybe is a little bit of a mystery. Maybe you don't know everything about them. Put aside your worldview for a moment to just better understand theirs. What's it like to walk in their shoes? And this doesn't mean that it's a threat to your reality or your identity. This is a really important skill set for success in long-term relationships. The next letter in ATTUNE is non-defensively listening, learning to hold space no matter what. I don't love the phrase no matter what. It's a bit extreme because obviously if our partner is smashing bottles against the wall or throwing pots and pans at us, that's not going to be a productive place to be. So if you're a mature couple, you don't do that stuff. And I know most of you don't. It's not something you struggle with. We still can have a challenge here holding space. And it can be difficult to even understand what that means. But essentially, holding space is I put my reality aside. I'm going to suspend my opinions and my judgments to just make this moment all about you. Just this moment, not my entire life, not every second of the day. But you know what? Right now, I'm here for you. I'm listening. I'm going to suspend my opinions and thoughts. I'm not going to take things personally and make it all about me. I'm going to avoid being defensive or making funny gestures at you or rolling my eyes. And have an open posture and listen. These are some of the elements here of a non-defensive position. The last letter in this acronym ATTUNE is empathize. And this is hard to do. It's difficult for many of us, but we really want to try to sense, want to try to feel what our partner is feeling. When couples come into therapy, they typically have a low sense of empathy for each other. And the reason that happens is we get disconnected from each other's worldview because of the stress, the hurt, the pain that we experience. And in a previous episode, I believe it was episode 6, I talked about this phenomenon of emotional symbiosis, where we become hurt, stressed, in pain. We immediately move to an offensive or defensive position to protect ourselves, which makes us self-absorbed. And when we're self-absorbed, we can't sense the other. So empathy is a really big deal. And it's one of the main goals. If couples are struggling or things don't feel good, they might not know this, especially coming into a therapy office. But one of the main goals there is to restore empathy for each other, to increase that sense of what it's like to be you. Okay, right. You hurt for these reasons. You're afraid of these things. This is what really matters to you. And to have that exchange. So part of this is really opening your heart, and seeing your partner with a fresh perspective, fresh lens. So if you're in conflict, or you're just generally trying to remember how to hold space, how to show up in these moments for your partner, try and remember this acronym ATTUNE. Awareness, tolerance, turning towards, understanding, non-defensive listening, and empathy. For me, I noticed that these have made a huge difference. It's very difficult to integrate all of these teachings at once. It's difficult to become an expert listener overnight, and it's going to take time. But if you stay with it, you stay focused on these principles, keep coming back to them, I promise it will make a difference for you. So today's episode is just a bite-sized chunk of information from the world of Dr. John and Julie Gottman. If you enjoyed this, check out their work. I hope to share more insights from them in the future, as well as other pioneers in this psychology and relationship space. Thank you for listening. My name is Nick Solacek, and I appreciate all your support with this show. As many of you know, there's no ads, no sponsors, no wasting your time. So if you can click a thumbs up, leave a 5-star review, it makes a big difference for me and helps this show reach other people who are wanting to transform, wanting to improve their experience in romantic partnership. And I think that's a worthwhile effort to try to make that happen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.